Thank you for a beautiful song. We appreciate that, and we're glad to have everyone here today who's able to be out. I want to just announce a little bit about the visitation program we're trying to institute. We're hoping to go out once a month on Saturdays and try to reach our community for the Lord. Tuesday night is not the best of times anymore. People just don't want to come to the door and talk and whatnot, and then it's dark and whatnot. So this way, on Saturday, at least the sun's out, and, well, hopefully, and it's not so dark. And so we can get out and visit and hopefully be a blessing. We'll try to meet here at 9:30. And then we'll get our assignments, we get our, you know, our literature and things, and then we'll go out, and we'll go out for about an hour or so, pass out flyers in the various neighborhoods that we'll be at. The idea is to, if folks are there, we can talk to them. That's wonderful. Praise the Lord for that. If they're not, well, just leave a brochure and move on. If they've got a nasty, mean dog who's trying to bite your head off, just leave it on the, fence and move on. These kind of things. And so, we'll just do what we can do to reach out to the community. And then we want to try to meet back here at the church, by 11 o'clock or so, 11:15, and then we can have 15 minutes or so of folks retelling testimonies. Maybe the Lord will give us an opportunity to share with somebody, and maybe somebody gets saved or something good happens. And so we can encourage one another in that regard here at the church. There will be a nursery provided. The Sampsons are doing that. And so we appreciate them taking that responsibility. So if you have small children and, they can't go out with you, then certainly you can leave them here. It's not something, even though that fairly young children couldn't participate in. You know, they could certainly help you carry things and put them on the, on the doors of the homes. And so we're hoping to reach a large number of homes. And in order to do that, we need a large number of people. And so if you can come out and help, we'd really appreciate that. It's not something that, we're necessarily, you have to do a lot of personal talking. My suspicion will be that you will probably could hit 30 houses and not talk to one person. Okay, there probably won't be very many people at home. Now, some are braver and love to do that and love to knock on doors and wait for an answer, and that's perfectly fine. If that's what you want to do, that's certainly acceptable. There's nothing wrong with doing that. But if you're a little shy and, you don't want to knock on the door and wait for somebody to answer and try to talk to them, then just leave some literature and move on. And if you happen to see somebody that's standing out there weeding their weeds or whatever, I guess it wouldn't be weeding their weeds, weeding their plants, then you can, give them a brochure and talk to them a little bit and say hello. And I think that's what I do in my yard, just weed the weeds. But anyway, I don't think I have any grass. I think I just have weeds. But so anyway, get out there and be an encouragement. And so that's the goal, is to try to reach the community. And there's certainly many folk who don't go to church anywhere, and we need to reach out to them. And if we don't try, we certainly won't succeed. So we need to at least try something. Maybe it's not the best of ideas, but at least it is something. And so we will try. Also, we are, I don't know how many weeks, but a number of weeks here, I will be finished with the millennium, at which time I shall enter into the discussion of the last eschatological discussion subject, which is heaven. And so that will be a blessing, but maybe there are some questions you might have concerning those matters. And so if you're interested in a particular thing about heaven, and you wanted me to make sure I hit that address as we go through the scriptures, just give me a note or something, and I'll make sure that I hit those particular questions that you might have regarding heaven. I don't know what street address you'll have, so, those won't work. But, if you have any particular questions, something you've been wondering about or, concerned about or just, curious about, it may be the scripture does address that issue. And if it does, we will try to answer it if I can find something in the scripture that deals with it. The topic of heaven is widely scattered throughout the scripture. And so there's not big, long, there's a couple, but not a lot of big, long passages that deal with it all in one place. So you have to draw inferences from many places. And so it requires some, you know, effort in that regard. But if you have questions about that, let me know and do that. And then just one final word of encouragement. Remember to try to, you know, as a church, we need to love one another, you know, associate with one another, know one another, get to know one another. And it's hard sometimes when you're just come to church on Sunday morning and you sit down and then you leave. You know, it's a little difficult. So we have to reach out to folk. And so I encourage you, you know, ladies, go to those, you know, breakfasts and all those things. If you're able to go to breakfast, go to breakfast, you know. I know you probably don't want the calories, but go anyway. And, you know, do all those things and just get to know one another and take opportunity to, you know, go out to lunch with folk and just reach out to one another and have that kind of connection that we need to have so that we can be encouraging one another, which is the function, one of the main functions of the church, that we can exercise our gifts, encourage one another, help one another. And so I encourage you to do those things. You will be blessed as you take the time to reach out to others, and they will as well. Well, let's continue now in our series that we are in on eschatology. We've been looking at the doctrine of the second coming of our Lord. And we want to look not today at some more characteristics of the millennium. What will it be like after the tribulation is over? The Lord has come back. He is now ruling and reigning himself in this world. What kind of characteristics will we find in that day? Well, there are some very interesting ones and some that are, you know, we would expect. We, for instance, would expect there might be righteousness when the Lord Jesus reigns. God himself is ruling. We might expect righteousness, and certainly that is one of the characteristics. Today, we will look at three more. And this one, the first we'll look at, is freedom from oppression. It will be a time when there will not be social and political and religious oppression. I'm sure you, as I, have been watching with interest over the events in the Middle East and seeing the people upset and the fightings and all of the strife that is going on. And all of this is over various oppression. They feel that they are being oppressed in various ways, and so they are fighting back against this. Well, in the millennium, there will not be this kind of oppression. There will not be social and political and religious oppression in that day. There will be a different world. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, and we'll look at some scriptures there. In Isaiah chapter 14, and verse number 3, and down through verse number 6. Isaiah 14, beginning at verse number 3. I'll be turning to a lot of scriptures, so if you get bothered by not being able to follow along and you want to just listen, that's perfectly fine. But if you want to stay with me, that's perfectly fine too. So whatever you want to do. Isaiah chapter 14, verse 3 through 6. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hand of bondage wherein thou wast made to serve, that thou shalt take up this proverb against the king of Babylon and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. The Lord hath broken the staff of the wicked and the scepter of the rulers. He hath smote the people with a wrath and of a continual stroke, that ruled the nations in anger, is persecuted, and is none hindereth. And so here we see that there's coming a time when the Lord Jesus himself will be ruling and reigning. And he says in that time there will be a cessation of this sorrow and of this fear. And why is there this sorrow and this fear? It is there because of the rulers who have been ruling, who have been oppressive, who have been harming and killing and all these things. That will be put away. Now, specifically, it's probably referencing the Antichrist there, but that is going to be a thing of the past. Persecution will be removed. Today, there is great persecution, even upon God's people. People of the Lord who love the Lord and are serving the Lord in various countries are persecuted for their faith. Those in Muslim countries have to be very, very careful. They can be taken out and beheaded and killed for their faith. People in China are often jailed and thrown in prison because they are worshiping the Lord. People in Burma, now Myanmar, but that country there, again, religious affliction that is brought upon the people. And so we have to be very careful, Christians, in places where they go. One of our missionaries was heading off to a spot, and And he mentioned that, you know, please do not send me any emails and contact me during this time, because as I will be in that country, there's religious persecution, and anything that people might contact me with and might mention and just praising the Lord or saying something like that in the midst of your email could result in persecution and death of the Christians that are there. And so you have to be very careful in these days that we serve the Lord. But in that day, there will be no persecution. God will remove those terrible things that are going on. Isaiah chapter 42. In Isaiah 42 and verse number 6 and 7. In Isaiah 42, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and I will hold thine hand. I will keep thee and give thee for a covenant to the people and for a light to the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes and to bring the prisoners out of prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. God is going to deliver his people from the affliction that they are in. Again, in Isaiah chapter 49 and verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 49, verses 8 and 9. He says there, Isaiah 49, verses 8 and 9, Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee, and I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant to the people, to establish the earth, and to cause it to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth, to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in thy ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall they the heat nor the sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. So again, you see the same idea being brought out, that God is going to bring an end to this oppression that is in this world. And today we face many, many types of oppression. There are many afflictions that go on. And these afflictions are based on everything under the sun. It is, you know, there, people seem to have a propensity to finding every possible way to sin. And so we oppress and afflict people based upon every silly and foolish characteristic that we can point out. There are people who are oppressed because of their particular nation, because of their particular race, because of their particular skin, because of their particular economics, because of their particular education, because of everything you can possibly imagine. People are afflicted and attacked and hurt in these days. But hallelujah, there is coming a day when that will cease, when the afflictions will be gone. When God, there will not be this oppression in this world. When righteousness will be the order of day, and there will be goodness and mercy throughout the world. Now, another characteristic that we will find, not only will there be freedom from oppression, but there will also be no immaturity. Now, you think, well, that's kind of an odd thing. But what we mean is there will be no children that will be lost in that day. The infant mortality will be gone. Now today, you know, that's a terrible affliction. One of our ladies mentioned Wednesday night of a friend of hers that, you know, lost her little child. And what a terrible thing to lose an infant. And the grief that certainly that family is facing at this time. A terrible affliction. And certainly an awful thing. Well, during the millennium, those days will be gone. When the Lord Jesus rules and reigns, there won't be that kind of sorrow. Those little ones will grow and be strong, and there will not be the death because of that. People will know, again, that great longevity. I think probably like unto that which is recorded for us in Genesis chapter 5. There you see, you know, all these people, Adam lived to be, oh, I forget, 900 and something years old, and all these ones 900 and something years old, and Methuselah, I think Adam was 962, and Methuselah was 969, the oldest man who lived. All these people, all those years, God is going to return us to that kind of a condition. in which people will live out their lives. They will have opportunity to build and to enjoy that which you build. You know, today, it's difficult because, you know, you want to build things up and you want to enjoy them, but, you know, it takes time. I mean, you plant an apple orchard, it takes you 20 years to get the thing going right and producing, by which time you've probably retired and moved, you know. So, you know, there's these difficulties, these problems, you know. But there will be a day when we will have that time, when the children will not know death. And dying at 100 years of age will be because you're being judged, not because you've lived a long time. Won't that be a blessing? You know, if you think about it, you know, nowadays, when you get older, your health just kind of declines. And you get weaker and weaker. And, you know, I know people live to be 100, but most of them aren't in the best of condition. I mean, yes, they're alive and maybe their mind is still fairly sharp, but, you know, they're in the wheelchair or they can't get up and they can't do a lot. And they, you know, you're not seeing a lot of 100-year-olds, you know, out sightseeing and running down to the museum and just, you know, they tend to have to be kind of taking it easy and resting. And that's kind of the condition of life. We all understand. Well, in that time, it's going to be a different world. A person 100 years old will just be a youth. I mean, you're just, you know, you're just getting to know life. You're just kind of learning how things are supposed to go. Be like being a 10-year-old in today's world, where, you know, you don't expect a 10-year-old to kind of know everything. He's just sort of getting to understand how things work and where, you know, how life is. So it will be in those days. 100 will be just a young man, a person who is just learning what life is like, will grow and will live in strength. We won't be full of sickness and sorrow and all kinds of things. Remember, the Lord is going to heal our diseases and remove our sicknesses. So you will live in strength. You'll be able to serve the Lord with energy. You'll be able to do the things of life and fulfill. Life will be full of joy and strength and vitality. What a blessing that will be when we can live in such a way. Look over in Isaiah chapter 65 and verse 20. There's not a lot of scripture on this, but in Isaiah 65 and verse 20, the Lord gives us this. Isaiah 65, verse 20. He says, "There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed." So it appears here from this, and it is a little hard to understand everything perfectly, but it appears from this that, you know, those who are 100 years old, they'll be given 100 years to make up their mind whether they will serve the Lord or whether they will reject. And if they reject the Lord, well, then they'll be put to death. They've been given 100 years. They've been given 100 years to make up their mind. You know, you say, well, that doesn't seem very fair. I mean, the others might live to be 1,000. Why just 100 years? Well, think about the differences, though, in the world in that day. It won't be a world in which people won't know righteousness. Everyone will know righteousness. People won't say, well, I don't know the Lord. They will all know the Lord, from the least of them to the greatest. They will be taught of Him. They will know who He is. They will know the reality that He is God, that He sits on the throne. So it will be a clear matter of willful choice to reject the Savior. You say, why would anybody choose to do such a thing? And there is only one answer: the sinfulness of man's heart, the depths of our depravity. Sometimes people will argue, oh, I don't think people are completely depraved. I don't think they understand Scripture. Men are utterly and completely vile. There is no good thing that dwelleth in us. And this is what God says He says, there will not be an infant of days. No, they'll all grow to maturity. There will not be an old man who doesn't live out his days. And not just live them out in misery and suffering. That's not what God's referring to. He's talking about strength. God's going to bless. And so there will be no immaturity in those days. There will not be these things, but there will be a judgment upon the ungodly. And then the last one I want to look at is this matter of reproduction by the living peoples. This is what makes the difference here in the text between whether it's talking about the millennium or whether it's talking about heaven. And there are some confusing passages where you have to kind of wonder, well, am I talking about the millennium here? Am I talking about heaven here? And, you know, some of the concepts, of course, overlap, obviously. Heaven will be full of joy. Heaven will be full of peace. Heaven will be full of righteousness. So, you know, some of the concepts of obviously will overlap. And, you know, it can be difficult to know exactly how to apply them. But during the millennial period, initially, all who enter that time will be Christians. They will all be saved. They will all know God. They will all have come to that point of trusting the Lord Jesus as their Savior. There will not be any who enter that millennial period who are not Christians. Because at the beginning of that millennium, God judges the nations. And He separates those who know Him from those who don't. And the ungodly are put into judgment. But the godly go into that time of blessing. Now those godly who go into that time of blessing from the tribulation period will be in their natural bodies. And so they'll have the same old body like we have, with the same old afflictions that we have. And they will have the same abilities that we have. And they will have children, just as we do. And so there will be children who are born during that millennial period. And those children who are born in that millennial period, as the previous verse mentioned, will have a period of time in which they can choose to serve the Lord or choose to reject the Lord. But here, there will be a vast change in the world. People who are living now, who have healed of their diseases, will continue and live out those length of days. And there will be a restoration of the body to the way it should work. And so there will be a great explosion of population in the world. Many people will be saved, or will be born during that period. And so there will be a great number of people who are born during that time, because it is a time in which people will be carrying on the normal activities of life. Now, one time I taught middle school Bible for many, many years, and middle schoolers ask weird questions sometimes. And so, you know, somebody asked me one time, you know, well, how many children did Adam have? And, you know, the scripture doesn't tell us precisely how many children Adam had. But, you know, so he said, well, I don't know. You know, the scripture doesn't tell us these things. But Adam lived to be such and such an age. And you can assume his wife lived to be close, you know. And so you start saying, well, you know, you have certain amount of time in which you can have children in today's world. And, you know, you can do the math as far as the, you know, the calculations as to when, you know, you can't have children, you can't have children, you can't have children. You can do the math as to, you know, the periods of time and extrapolate that out to a greater long period. And I forget exactly the number now, but, you know, assuming that they had a child like every 3 years, they could have had like 230 some children or something. So, you know, there could be this huge family that could have been born, all right? Now, again, all this is supposition, you know. But during the millennium, it speaks of this huge population increase, these peoples that will fill the earth and the blessings that are there. You say, well, wouldn't there be a shortage of food? No, remember, the guy who is plowing will be running into the guy who's harvesting, you know, and you know, I mean, the crops are just, God's just going to bring forth a superabundance. And so there won't be any problem with not having enough. You know, everybody will have plenty. There won't be any shortage of food. There'll be plenty of food. You won't need medicine. So, you know, the Lord. And so people won't be dying of diseases and all these kinds of things. There's going to be a huge population in the world. And many, many children will be born during that time. So the millennium is a time when still people will be born. Now, that is a distinct difference between that and heaven. In heaven, the Lord says, no, we are like the angels in heaven. We neither marry nor are we given in marriage. And so in heaven, there will not be children born. There will not be, you know, new people being added to it. Heaven is a different situation. And so as we go into speaking of heaven, we speak of a different thing than we do of the millennium. But during the millennium, there will be children that are born. They will have natural bodies. They will beget these children throughout the age. The earth's population will soar. And those who are born in that time will still have that sin nature that we have. We'll still have that sin nature. And, you know, it just goes to prove that God has demonstrated to man that without the grace of God, no one would be saved. God put us in the Garden of Eden where we had absolutely everything we needed. We had no problems. We had no difficulties. We had no problems. God gave Adam one simple rule. And he breaks it. He's completely innocent, knows nothing of sin. He can't live sin-free even when he's innocent. When God just gives him promises, he can't follow it. When God gives him law, he can't follow it. When God gives us grace, we can't follow it. When God gives us Christ himself, ruling and reigning in a perfect environment and heals all our troubles, we can't follow it. The problem's us. And so that is the thing that has to be changed. And that's why the Lord says, when the church is caught up together, we shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. You know, people say, well, you know, heaven wouldn't be very heavenly if we went there. You're right. But the you who goes there is going to be a different you. You are going to be absent from your sin nature. And that'll be a blessing when we don't have any more sin natures. When we don't have those feelings of pride and arrogance and boasting and hatred and all those things that come along, those things will be gone. We will serve the Lord without those difficulties. And so the children who are born during that time will still have that sin nature and still need to be saved. Well, let's look at a couple of verses in Jeremiah 30, which is what Brother Lewis read for us there today. In Jeremiah 30, in verse number 20, it speaks of this. Here, speaking of this time when in the last days, God will rebuild the city. He will rebuild Jerusalem. He will rebuild the world. He says, their children. See, their children. There's going to be children during that millennial time. And their congregation shall be established before the Lord, and I will punish them that oppress them. So there are going to be children in that time. In Jeremiah 31, in verse 29, he says, in those days they shall say no more. The fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. Again, it refers to the fact of children. The children aren't going to suffer for the sins of the father. The fathers are going to suffer for the sins of the father. There won't be that kind of thing now where iniquity follows down to the family. We're studying David's life in Sunday school. And so if you don't come, let me encourage you. We're studying David's life. Come on out. But anyway, studying David's life there. And one of the things you note in David's life is the connection to the house of Saul. And Saul's family is destroyed. And David, in chapter 9 of 2 Samuel, wants to do some kindness for the house of Saul. Is there no one for Saul's family that I can do a kindness to for Jonathan's sake, he says. And so he asks to do a kindness. Saul's house, which the scripture referred to as being a large house in 1 Chronicles, had been wiped out. All but this one fella. And why was that? Because of the sins of the father. Saul had been wicked, and that iniquity had its effects upon the children. In that day, the Lord says, no, it will not be like that. No longer will the children have problems because of what happened with the parents. There will be a change. And that'll be a wonderful thing. That's probably one of the biggest hassles you deal with in teaching young people in school is their family problems. And the vast majority of them have lots of family problems. You won't have them in those days. What a blessing that will be. Well, look at Ezekiel chapter 47. Ezekiel 47. Ezekiel 47, verse 22. Ezekiel 47 and verse number 22. Here it says, "And it shall come to pass that ye shall divide it by lot for an inheritance to you and to the strangers that sojourn among you, which shall beget children among you. And they shall be unto you as born in the country among the children of Israel. They shall have inheritance with you among the tribes of Israel." So here God says to the children of Israel, during that time of the millennium, when God has given them back the land and he has divided out the land, and Ezekiel goes through the entirety of how the land is divided out and where the tribes are given and all these characteristics, God says, there will be strangers who will live among you. Now, in that day, in the Old Testament times, the Jews, especially at the time of Christ, did not look very favorably upon the Gentiles who lived among them. They called them dogs, and you know, which was not a polite thing in that day. It was not the family pet. Okay, dogs were despised and hated in those days. They were, you know, nasty animals. Maybe we would better use the word rats. You know, they called them rats. You know, they were using a term of derision. They didn't like them. They were bad. God says, no, in that day it's going to be a different day. They're going to dwell in the land with you, and they will be considered just like the children of Israel. They will be treated as equal. See, because in Christ there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, between the barbarian and the Greek, between the, you know, anything. God has removed all those barriers. Everyone is welcome into the family of God. Everyone is welcome into the church of God. Everybody should feel at home. That's God's will, that we make people welcome in that day. Well, that'll be changed as well. And then the last passage I want to look at is Zechariah chapter 10 and verse number 8. Zechariah 10 and verse number 8. And I'll look back just at verse number 7, because the psalm we'll look at tonight speaks of the tribe of Ephraim. But it says, "And they of Ephraim shall be like a mighty man, and their hearts shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their hearts shall rejoice in the Lord. For I will hiss for them and gather them, for I have redeemed them, and they shall increase as they have increased." So there again, you see the nation will be growing in number. It will be increasing. It will be getting bigger. God is going to make a change in the people. Ephraim is going to be a different people. Psalm 78 speaks of Ephraim being armed for battle, turned back in the day. They wouldn't serve. But today, in that day, Ephraim will serve the Lord. They will not turn away. They will not be full of fear. Those fears and those concerns that we face today and those worries and those weaknesses we have, they'll be gone. God's going to change all these things. The millennium is a time of difference, a time of change, a time when we will visibly see the Lord sitting on his throne, a time of great encouragement and blessing. And so I encourage us in these things. That's where we're heading toward. We're heading toward those kinds of things in heaven. Most of these qualities extend into heaven. I know not all, but most of these things follow right over into heaven. That's the great hope that we have. We are looking forward to those things. We are to keep our eye on that heavenly prize, as Paul spoke of. He was pressing toward that mark for that wonderful prize. And yes, we do face some difficulties. And yes, there are heartaches. And yes, there's difficulties. And yes, there's problems. And yes, things don't go the way they ought to go. And that's discouraging. And we do get weary in well-doing, even though we shouldn't. But there's coming a day when all will be well. Keep your eye upon the prize and be not discouraged. And then for those who don't know the Lord, maybe there's somebody in our midst who's never trusted Christ as your Savior, and you don't know that if you died tonight, you'd go to heaven. You can know that today. You can be part of God's family. You can be part of the blessings that are there. You can enjoy these things. You can partake of these things. You can have that through what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. Jesus has provided the way whereby we as people can be made new. Jesus talked to a religious leader one day, and he told this religious leader that he needed to be born again. And the religious leader kind of scratched his head and said, "How can I be born again? I don't understand. What are you talking about? This is crazy. How can a man be born again? It makes no sense." And Christ talked to him about the Spirit, about how that God is going to create in us a new spirit, to make within us a new spirit. And they that believe on Him shall be saved. So we are to turn to the Lord. We need to turn to the Lord Jesus. Christ, when He died upon that cross, paid the penalty for the sins that we deserve. When He rose again from that grave, the Scripture says He rose for our justification. He provided that settling of the sins. And so now God can give to us that righteousness that Christ had. And He can take from us our sins and lay them upon Christ. And so then we can be declared in God's sight righteous. That's what salvation is. It's a transaction. God takes from us our sins and gives to us the righteousness of Christ. And those who receive that wonderful gift, that transaction, that gift, have, the Scripture says, eternal life. Say, how do I get it? You trust God. See, but trust God? Yes, just believe God to do for you what He promised He'd do for you. Say, well, don't I have to sign something, give you some money, join the church? I mean, certainly I must. No, you don't. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. It's that simple. Trust the Lord Jesus. So if you've never trusted Christ, today, the Scripture says, is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. For we know not what a day may bring forth. We don't know. And if you don't know the Lord, I encourage you, trust Him today. Let's bow for prayer.